Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9.
There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. Don't expect us to be nice. Don't expect it to be safe. And don't expect us to be politically correct. Nothing is sacred. We find the queer, profane, and cringeworthy wherever we can, here on Joy 94.9. Is nothing sacred? There's something
evolving. Hi there, Joysters. I'm back.
Who are you? Is it Santa? Oh, dear.
It's Jim. It's Jim here, and I'm in the studio with Is Nothing Sacred with Patrick on the panel. Hi there, Patrick.
Hi, Jim.
And James and Steph.
Hello. Hi.
And we have a guest in the studio tonight, Lisa. Hello,
morning.
Lisa.
Morning.
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 Well, it's morning somewhere in the world.
Yes, it is. It's morning it is. Wherever Jim just came from, certainly.
Well, that is true.
Yes. So you had a good time, Jim. Did you miss us?
I missed you, but I listened to you from London, but then I couldn't work out the time difference to listen to you from New York.
Really?
So you fell off my radar then.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. You know, you had other things to preoccupy you, I gather.
Oh, I did in New York. Yes.
I must say it's been very, very different. I don't know if you're going to be able to get back in. Do you think you're going to get back into the swing with us now? Do you think, you know?
I don't know. I'll probably just interrupt a lot tonight.
That sounds pretty ideal, pretty ideal. We have a really good show coming up today, which is going to be huge. Firstly, we will be talking with Lisa from Genderqueer Australia. That is correct. Excellent. And also, we are going to be doing a little bit because we heard the sad news today of the passing of Stella Young, who is in a magnificent advocate for disability, was a hysterical comedian, wonderful journalist. And so we're going to be playing a bit of her marvellous work. Because Steph brought it up to me and we're both looking at each other because when we started this season, I remembered we both went, let's get Stella Young. So we're going to do it posthumously, have her on the show, which is going to be not quite what we wanted, but oh well, it's going to be good. It's going to be a fun
one.
Well,
it's the best you can do now.
It's the best we can do now. It's the best we can do now, certainly. Oh, goodness, Steph, you bring this up today and I've gotten all teary.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit sad as well.
Oh, well, we have to encourage people to change it up a bit, certainly, for that one there. Oh, goodness gracious me. Well, does anyone else want to speak or am I just speaking tonight?
Nice.
Maybe we should get down to business and
get
have
down
a chat
business.
To our guests. So thank you so much for coming in, Lisa.
That's all right.
You're from North. Genderqueer Australia. So
yep.
For people who don't know, can you tell them what it means to be genderqueer?
Basically, it means that you either fall somewhere between male and female on the continuum. Your feeling is in yourself that you are neither male nor female. Or some believe themselves to be outside male and female and identify as different identified genders. And mainly within Genderqueer Australia, we just regard people as people. You know, sort of you are female because you are dressed as this stereotypical female shape and form and these particular pieces of cloth sewn together in a particular way, and vice versa. It's just about at its core, it's about just being accepted as a person.
Sounds very interesting. It sounds a little bit like, you know, hello, you are a fellow lump of flesh with
yes,
oxygen in you.
And
I, you know what? I like that.
We're all DNA when we get down to it. That's it. We're all
are
DNA.
We? I think we're
carbon and water, actually.
Yes, yeah, yes. Carbon and water atoms.
I'm made of fluff. Enough. I'm like Winnie the Pooh.
Right.
Yes, I'm made of fluff. Anyway.
Lisa, I also wanted to ask, how does genderqueer, in your opinion, sort of differ from like identifying as transgender, because we have had intersex and transgender on the show.
Well, as a point of difference to transgender, transgender people tend, and I won't stereotype because that would be bad, tend to want to transition, that is move from one identifiable gender to another. So you are identified by other people at birth as gender A, a little bit of box A, and then you feel, that's not really where I want to fit. You want to be gender B over here on the right-hand side for those of you watching at home.
Or more the fact is that I am gender B and I've been assigned as gender A.
Yes, indeed. Mm. There you go. That's another way of putting exactly the same thing. It's a very interesting concept. But the point of difference between genderqueer and transgender is that the people who are genderqueer feel they are somewhere floaty in the middle. Little bit of box A and a little bit of box B.
And I suppose in a lot of ways the concept, in modern society is this kind of binary of the two. Mm, but yep. The reality is it's not even like a relatively new concept of having a third gender or alternative genders outside
indeed,
of the binary
yeah.
system. Especially, you look at most ancient cultures, they have this this fluidity, especially with deities and in mythology, between sexes and genders and identifying. So it's not exactly, because I do find a lot of people, whenever you say, this person is genderqueer, they go, what does that mean?
It's not well known.
Or not even that it's not well known. It's more the fact that they go, but that can't be right. And they conflate it with performance art.
Yeah.
Do we actually need it?
What, gender?
No, genderqueer. Do we actually need an organisation that calls itself genderqueer and wants to run around saying these things or not?
If you don't,
or should we just recognise that everybody's a little bit of both?
You can go that way, but I think that's a way down the line. So I personally was in and around the gender community in the late 90s and wondered why there was no organisation or no people around that sort of were happy to float in the middle to work out who they actually were, and came back to the community in 2010, which is where we started Genderqueer Australia. It was called something else at the time. Well, let's move on from that. And started it because there was still no organisation that just regarded people as people, able to make their own decisions about the paths they wanted to take. And so you get this situation in certain cases where, through peer pressure, you end up being sort of thinking, I have to be this because everyone else is that, rather than just being allowed to be yourself, which is where we exist.
I think maybe, Jim, the distinction is between people recognising that, in everyone people have masculine and feminine characteristics, but some people would conceptualise, I guess particularly people outside the LGBTI community, as I have things that are masculine and feminine about myself, rather than being part one gender, part another gender, or I guess dismissing the binary as irrelevant, which we probably think it is.
The first time I ever personally heard the concept of this sort of fluidity in gender, which was quite eye-opening for me, this is actually back in Newtown in Sydney with 2010, which is a great organisation there. It's really wonderful, especially, and it introduced me mainly to people who were genderqueer, gender fluid. More so in the fact than the original reason I came to it was talking about my sexuality. And one of the things that I think that conceptualized it quite well for me, which was run by this this wonderful group, and I wish I could remember the people's names who ran it, but they were fantastic.
Yeah.
And it was that it's kind of like, and I consider it similar to chemistry in making salt. So salt is sodium chloride. Yes. So I can't remember the thing.
NaCl.
Thank you, scientist. Now, I remember my science teacher used to she pulled out sodium, like pure sodium.
Yep.
And I think this is what sodium looked like from memory. It's this thick, very, very dense looking material, and you add chloride into it. And the fact is that it's like having two ingredients, but the results could be anything.
Mm.
And that's the way I think, you've got these sort of binary things, but the fact is that it's not just 50% this and 70% that. It is a complete conflation that will morph and change into something miraculous, or in my case, something not so miraculous. But it was...
Well, you are a miracle. What are you talking about?
It was a miracle that I got through childhood. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is, as I said, we regard people as just people. We just call everyone peeps. And so it gives that freedom to identify as anything you want to. So you could come along one day and you're dead femme, and you can come along the next time and you got bobber boots on with a punk haircut, and no one's going to blink an eye because you're just another person.
And then you can be the punk femme.
Yeah, exactly. And you can do whatever you like.
So it sounds like the world's big costume party, really.
No, that's conflating it with a concept of... I don't know. I can't speak. But,
yes, you can.
Clearly. Oh, I can. Thank you.
I think I can finish your sentence for you. I guess, you know, not necessarily attributing the way a person dresses with how they identify themselves.
Yeah. Because you can...
They may or may not be the same thing.
Yeah, completely.
Moving right along, what kind of services and or support does Genderqueer Australia offer at this point?
Well, at this point, we've been running a monthly gathering, which we call a gathering rather than a meeting because meeting has official overtones, for the last 4 years on the first Saturday of the month, every month. And basically, we hang out in a cafe and people come along and they chat with each other, get to know one another. So it's a bit of peer support, bit of putting people in contact, learning that they're not the only ones out there, that old chestnut of isolation being a big problem for the whole of the alphabet soup community. And that's what we're doing at the moment. We've got the website, of course, which is stuffed to the gunnels with various different resources and ideas and opinions and things like that. And we also have taken over a project called Toil Art, which was run by Trans Melbourne Gender Project back in the day, and that's basically gender-neutral toilets in and around Melbourne and sort of expanding slowly to the rest of the continent.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Hello, you are on Joy 94.9 with Is Nothing Sacred. I'm here with the magnificent Jim Hyde, the delightful Steph Amir, James Cooper, and who recently had a birthday. So
the old James Cooper.
Yeah, oh, please.
He's 26. Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that.
As I pointed out to him outside tonight, he'll never get any more sex now he's 26. That's it. It's finished.
And we are speaking with Lisa from Genderqueer Australia. Now, just before we went to our song from Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
What's his name? Dexter.
It was Dexter.
Wow.
Well, it wasn't Dexter singing then. It was Dexter
not
who...
splattered in blood.
No.
Okay.
That was Neil Patrick Harris singing then.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It was.
But Jim saw Michael Seahall. Right. Yes. Now, it would have been cool. You know who I want to see do it? And I'd like to see Matt Smith actually do
that
it.
That would be fun,
that would be
it?
Amazing. And I have
the world's
such a crush.
Worst Doctor Who.
Oh, wash your mouth out. Watch be your gone mouth. From yes. my... this studio that is not mine. Anyway, moving on. So, right, let's get back to it, I suppose, folks.
But we were talking about the campaign, which is talking about gender-inclusive toilets. Mm. Now, could you extrapolate a little bit more about that for our wonderful listener?
So, as you know, people, everyone needs to go when they need to go. And... the concept of a gender-neutral toilet is rather important to those of us in the community that don't actually identify as strictly male or female, for the very simple reason that if you walk into a female toilet, let's say, and your dress sense is apparently more masculine, you get eyebrows. And if you are a trans person or a genderqueer person that wants to go into the male toilets, you could get assaulted. Either way, it's a dangerous situation. So the idea of gender-neutral toilets is basically around safety and just wanting to wee. Everyone needs to do it. So what's wrong with that?
I think it's incredibly different because they had that thing on Glee quite a while ago, and it was, you know, they made the special bathroom. And we're going to go into this concept of the special bathroom, which gets
sort of trotted out for kids at school who are trans or whatever, who sort of have to go to the teacher for the key and all this fucking stick. Whoops, sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
If
you're angry, it's all right.
Stigma that gets attached to just going to the toilet. What the hell's that all about? Let's just go to the toilet. They all look the same.
Yeah, and Swinburne recently put this in, and I go to Swinburne, so I feel like I didn't actually do anything to get that in there, but I'm like, sweet. Woohoo, yes.
Yeah.
And they did have, there was also this that thing that's been circulating around the internet. I don't know where this is. I think it's in England somewhere. Have you seen England where they put up a sign that said, if you believe that the person is the wrong gender for this toilet, mind your own business, they know better than you.
Yeah, exactly. What are you going to do? Part your trousers and prove that you are what you say you are?
I have debated that because I often, when I'm in male toilets, get men who look at me very strangely and...
What are you doing here, mate?
Yeah, exactly. Well, not quite as harshly, but they go...
What are you doing here, miss? Usually?
Yeah, well, I get... Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm in the wrong bathroom. I said,
No, you're not.
You're not. Nice. And that hole in the wall was always there. Now, but no, the important thing. No, sorry. That took a turn that shouldn't be there. But. But it. Obviously, we've talked about, you know, why are these important? Yeah. Important. And I mean, obviously, everyone just needs to urinate when they need to go, and they need to do it without. Fear of being
ostracized,
any form of abuse, and for their safety.
You don't have gender specific toilets at home.
This is going to increase the cost of public toilets dramatically by
what, one sign or the removal of a sign.
No, by having to get rid of all the urinals out of them and put in cubicles.
No, you don't even have to do that. You just put a sign on the door saying if you need a urinal friendly toilet. This toilet has a urinal. Who cares?
We have gender-neutral toilets at work. And certainly, because I live in Brunswick, and there are lots of, you know, pubs and cafes.
How hipster.
Yeah. My workplace is pretty rad. Just saying.
It is in a laneway, after all, your workplace.
It is in a laneway. But yes, awesome. There were male and female signs, but then someone stuck another sign over the top that says toilet.
Yeah.
And then it has, like, various symbols of various types of people.
Yeah, exactly. This one's got a urinal. This one doesn't. They've all got basins. Who cares? And if you're drunk enough, any old basin will do. Moving on.
So, Lisa, you were talking, like, this is obviously one of the campaigns that you're talking about. I'm interested to talk about, amongst the whole group, I guess, about the topical matter that was in the media lately with the Green Senator, Larissa Waters, who was endorsing, I believe, a campaign. So it was blown up to seem like it was, I suppose, a personal view, but it was a campaign called No Gender December, which I suppose we have touched on the show before about it being particularly important for young children not to have a particular pink and blue simplistic view.
Well, Lego had a young girl write a letter to them in the last few years saying, hey, how's about some more female characters and sort of minifigs? And just today I read an article about a girl who was reading science books, and they were titled The Big Science Book for Boys. And she wrote in and said, hey, I want to do science. I'm a girl. Who cares? And they actually wrote back and said, your envelope was gorgeous because it had sparkles on it, and also, but what was inside was even better. And they're actually renaming the whole thing just for The Big Science Book. Boing.
I also remember
it's just simple.
Speaking about the Lego thing, because there was, I think it was Lego, back in the 70s when it first came out, and they had the booclet, and it said, just let the kid do whatever it wants, pretty much. There's a whole bunch of blocks. Let it enjoy. Mm. If it makes something that you don't think is gendered, who cares?
Yeah,
you know,
completely.
If it's not right. And the whole thing with No Gender December, which was blown out of proportion because of, you know... it was. But I think what was gratifying as well, other than the awful things that did happen, which was the Australian... Let me point out, this is disgusting journalism at its worst.
It's not journalism,
it's gutter. No, that was gutter, was... them putting pictures. Let's point out pictures of Larissa Walters' child, her six-year-old child, wearing pink, going, "She's a liar. Larissa Walters is a liar." Mm. And let me point out, they scammed them
off of Facebook.
Yeah, which old dude spent time looking through Larissa Walters' child? I mean, that's a bit sus, personally. I'm not really comfortable with that, but...
No. It's the public's right to know that
the public's right to know. Larissa Waters is off. I mean...
is contradictory. As if the whole world isn't contradictory, as we already know.
Yeah. Yes.
But I suppose it is for people, for our listeners, if there is anyone out there that was confused, I think the point was that it wasn't saying that children...
It has to conform to any particular way.
It was the complete opposite. It was to say, just let them decide and don't say, because it's pink, it's for a girl, and because it's blue, it's for a boy.
We're certainly not advocating for no one to wear pink. I really like pink.
You're wearing blue tonight.
I look fantastic in pink. Have you seen me in pink?
Yes.
I rock pink.
I'm wearing pink and
glad
blue.
To hear it. Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. But, I mean, what were your experiences as children? I'd be curious to know. I mean, did because I was relatively lucky in that I think the parents trialled the gendered toys and then went, oh, stuff it, who cares? He wants to play a doll, go nuts. And so it was Jemima doll from Play School, which had pen mark on it because I decided to try and make her prettier and failed miserably. Who else had those kind of situations? Did you have a doll, James?
Yeah, I liked my sister's toys more than mine.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did feel pressured. I felt pressured, though, very much through, like, primary school and...
I gave up.
Yeah, even slightly through my parents. My parents were, you know, very progressive, but I still felt pressured that it was the wrong thing to do. It was sort of like, you know, it wasn't cool to play with Barbie, basically. And I didn't like that. Looking back on it now, I wish that it hadn't been like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, here.
My parents are pretty awesome. I had a truck and Meccano, and I said I wanted to be an engineer, and so they thought that was a good job, so they supported the Meccano helicopter building.
Steph, I didn't think I was going to hear a sap story how they'd never let me play with it. I was thinking, she probably had these really rad, forward-thinking parents who were just like, let's get her the chemistry set. Yep. Science.
Yeah, my parents gave... all of us a chemistry set.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we all
chemistry's pretty non-neutral. I find it quite a neutral thing. I know that people do kind of gender it as male, but...
Back in the day, they had proper chemistry sets.
Yeah,
they did. We used to blow things up.
You could blow stuff up with them. These days, it's all...
We used to make volcanoes.
Now it's just vinegar and sodium.
Yeah, it's those crystal trees. Do you know those ones? They glow over several days and they're really pretty.
And they're pink and blue, no doubt.
Pink and blue, yeah.
We do have to wrap up, unfortunately, but I would like to ask you, Lisa, how can any of our listeners who could be genderqueer, who are genderqueer, and any allies, how can they find out more about the organisation?
Just get on the website.
Get on the website.
Genderqueer.org.au.
And we will throw that on our Facebook page
as well. Thank you very much. And we're also on Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah.
Yep.
Good old Facebook.
Stalkbook, we call it.
Yeah, Stalkbook, Thank you so much for joining us tonight,
no problem,
Lisa.
Thank you very much for having me.
It is an absolute pleasure. You are on As Nothing Sacred here on Joy 94.9.
This is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are back on Is Nothing Sacred here on Joy 94.9. It is 26 minutes to 11, and we have just been chatting with Lisa from Genderqueer Australia. Now, we have a couple of things that we want to jump in before we move on to our next subject. First off, we just received the membership from Maeve in Brunswick East, and I just want to say a huge thank you so much, Maeve, for joining us.
Everybody else, get on line and go to the website and go to the membership page and join up, where you can join up using your credit card or ring Robert on the front desk on 1300 JOY 949. And if you're not a member, join, because if you're not a member, you shouldn't be listening to Is Nothing Sacred, that's for sure.
Oh, Jim.
Plus you get free stuff if you're a member.
The important thing is that you are helping support our community and our voice being
and if you haven't joined up by next week, I'm going to insist you put a compass in your ears.
Oh dear.
I just can't. We just can't follow it. So it's like, you're joining the Joy family. Get on board.
Yeah. Well,
and why wouldn't you join the Joy family?
Exactly. Well, I mean, I'm going to use Maeve's words here to sell it. You guys rock. Aw, keep up the amazing work. Now, that could have been for us. It could have been for Wet Spot, which was just before us. Sammy putting on a wonderful show. For, in honour of tomorrow, bum-ba-da-da, Sonia has got her 5th anniversary show for Sci-Fi and Scream.
Woo!
5 years on air. That's pretty good for a show on Joy.
Pretty good. It's very incredible having that show. And that show is one of the most, it's most podcasted. It's got this amazing fan base. And Sonia does an incredible job on it. So listen in tomorrow at 10 o'clock for, you can have all, I'm going to say audio cake. I would recommend that you all eat cake, and I hope that it's shaped in the shape of R2-D2.
And if you're a queer geek of Oz, you've just got to get on there and listen to it regularly.
And if you do look at Queer Geeks of Oz, you can see me actually making out with the Flash on their page somewhere.
There is
a photo of me making out with the Flash. It was so quick. I didn't even know I was being made out with. He was just in and out. Sounds like Fridays. But it was really awkward. Now, going on to something else, we've got, we received a gift a couple of months ago.
We did, which I have to
say thank you.
I have to say thank you, Deneen, from the Phillip Island Penguin Sanctuary, because listeners might remember at the beginning of this season, we had Deneen on from the Phillip Island Penguin Sanctuary talking about those cute little black and white fairy penguins down there. And they have a campaign where they knit little coats for the penguins that require them that are in rehab. And they had one knitter that was too big for all the little penguins. And so my dog, Mrs. Betty Windsor, has inherited it, and it got sent into us. And so I've got a very nice black and white coat that's going to go on the dog when I get her back.
Yes.
Because, so she's on holidays at the moment.
Yeah, she's on holidays.
As soon as she comes back, she will be trying on this coat. It'll be her Christmas present.
Now, we heard some very, just moving on to something a little bit more serious, we heard some very upsetting news today, which was the passing of Stella Young, which Steph alerted me to, actually, because she put up this thing and it was, it's so sad. Sorry.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know Stella Young, she's a Australian comedian journalist for ABC, very well-known personality in the disability advocacy space.
And one of the most friendly people you could ever meet if you ever bumped into her or had her run over your foot with her wheelchair.
She's pretty great. Very, very funny comedian.
And she was the editor of Ramp Up before the Abbott government decided to take the funding away for a month.
Well, in honour of Stella, we are going to play a little bit of some of her stand-up and also her magnificent TED talk, which is I'm Not Your Inspiration.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just, you know, I would like to address your first concern and tell you that I know what you're all thinking, and the answer is no. I am not just really far away. Not far away, actual cripple. It's fine. And I am also an atheist. And I've been an atheist for a long time, ever since I first heard that there was only a stairway to heaven. I apply the same rule to God as I do anyone else. If the host can't provide access, I don't come to your party. I must warn you, I do drop the old C-bomb a little bit in my comedy sometimes. And I feel the need to warn people because people get a little bit offended. But look, I really love the word cripple. So, and it makes people uncomfortable. This gentleman down the front looks like he really wishes I'd said... Look, and cripple, it is a bit un-PC, but I am frankly not a fan of what they've replaced cripple with. You know, it's special needs. We're all supposed to be special needs these days, aren't we? Well, look, if there's one thing I've learnt from 30 years of being a cripple, it's that special is just a code word for shit. Special schools, special buses, special scissors. Those are especially shit. And look, I don't know what they thought I was going to do if I'd gotten my little crippled hands on the normal kid scissors. I wasn't going to fucking run with them, was I? God. And, you know, even the term person with a disability, I'm not a huge fan of. I think person with a disability makes it sound like my disability is something that I carry around with me. You know, like one day I might get halfway to work and go, ah, fuck, forgotten my umbrella and my disability. I noticed that a lot of you in the audience this evening are, in fact, 5'7" and ambulant, or thereabouts. And I just want to say that I'm okay with that. I'm completely comfortable with normal people. I'm not racist against normal people at all. In fact, some of my best friends are normal. Yeah, in fact, I know I'm supposed to be kind of being funny, but I just want to be serious for a moment and tell you that I think you people are just amazing. You are just so brave. I can't help but smile to myself when I see you on your outings. I don't know how you do it in your condition, but it's amazing what you people can achieve with a positive attitude. What's the word I'm looking for? Oh, yes, you're an inspiration. I used to work at the museum, actually, among my people, the scientists, and I used to get lots of very interesting reactions from children, and I think my favourite was a young man who was staring at me, and he looked quite baffled. And I said, oh, is there a question that you'd like to ask me, young man? And he said, yes. Are you imaginary? Yeah, like all his friends had imaginary friends that he'd heard about, and he spotted me and he went, that's what they look like. I will leave you with this one last story of a man on a tram stop who approached me and he bent down into my ear and said, do you take Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour? I said, nah. And he said, oh, that's a shame because you could be healed from your ailments if you accept Jesus into your heart. I myself have been cured from the exact same situation. Really? The exact same situation. Okay, so I'm 2'10", possibly imaginary. I don't know. He looked kind of like a normal person to me. I don't know. What's average height for you people? I don't know. You all kind of look the same to me. Sorry. But, he said, I've been, you know, cured from the exact same situation. And he kept going and going and going and going and going. And I couldn't really get away because I was on one of those platform tram stops. But as soon as the tram pulled up and I could see that I was going to be able to make a quick getaway, I said, look, thank you so much for your input. I'm just going to stop you there and let you know that I actually have a very close personal relationship with God. It's a very close relationship. Yeah, I was actually just talking to him and he told me to tell you to get fucked.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
I grew up in a very small country town in Victoria. I had a very normal, low-key kind of upbringing. I went to school. I hung out with my friends. I fought with my younger sisters. It was all very normal. And when I was 15, a member of my local community approached my parents and wanted to nominate me for a community achievement award. And my parents said, that's really nice, but there's kind of one glaring problem with that. She hasn't actually achieved anything. Yeah. And they were right, you know. I went to school, I got good marks, I had a very low-key after-school job in my mum's hairdressing salon, and I spent a lot of time watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Dawson's Creek. Yeah, I know, what a contradiction. But they were right. You know, I wasn't doing anything that was out of the ordinary at all. I wasn't doing anything that could be considered an achievement if you took disability out of the equation. Years later, I was on my second teaching round in a Melbourne high school, and I was about 20 minutes into a Year 11 legal studies class when this boy put up his hand and said, "Hey, miss, when are you going to start doing your speech?" And I said, "What speech?" And he said, "You know, like your motivational speaking. You know, when people in wheelchairs come to school, they usually say, like, inspirational stuff. It's usually in the big hall." And that's when it dawned on me. This kid had only ever experienced disabled people as objects of inspiration. We are not, you know, to this kid, and it's not his fault. I mean, that's true for many of us. You know, for lots of us, disabled people are not our teachers or our doctors or our manicurists. We're not real people. We are there to inspire. And in fact, you know, I'm sitting on this stage looking like I do in this wheelchair, and you are probably kind of expecting me to inspire you. Right? Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint you dramatically. I'm not here to inspire you. I'm here to tell you that we have been lied to about disability. Yeah, we've been sold the lie that disability is a bad thing, and to live with disability makes you exceptional. It's not a bad thing, and it doesn't make you exceptional. And in the past few years, we've been able to propagate this lie even further via social media. You know, you may have seen images like this one: "The only disability in life is a bad attitude." There are a lot of these images out there. You know, you might have seen the one, the little girl with no hands drawing a picture with a pencil held in her mouth. You might have seen a child running on carbon fibre prosthetic legs. And these images, you know, there are lots of them out there. They are what we call inspiration porn. And I use the term porn deliberately because they objectify one group of people for the benefit of another group of people. So in this case, we're objectifying disabled people for the benefit of non-disabled people. The purpose of these images is to inspire you, to motivate you, so that we can look at them and think, well, however bad my life is, it could be worse. I've lost count of the number of times that I've been approached by strangers wanting to tell me that they think I'm brave or inspirational. And this was long before my work had any kind of public profile. They were just kind of congratulating me for managing to get up in the morning and remember my own name. And I know what you're thinking. You know, I'm up here bagging out inspiration. You're thinking, geez, Stella, aren't you inspired sometimes by some things? And the thing is, I am. I learn from other disabled people all the time. I'm learning not that I am luckier than them, though. I am learning that it's a genius idea to use a pair of barbecue tongs to pick up things that you drop. I'm learning that nifty trick where you can charge your mobile phone battery from your chair battery. Genius. We are learning from each other strength and endurance, not against our bodies and our diagnoses, but against a world that exceptionalizes and objectifies us. I really think that this lie that we've been sold about disability is the greatest injustice. It makes life hard for us. And that quote, "the only disability in life is a bad attitude," the reason that that's bullshit is because it's just not true. Because of the social model of disability, you know, no amount of smiling at a flight of stairs has ever made it turn into a rap. Never. I really want to live in a world where disability is not the exception but the norm. I want to live in a world where a 15-year-old girl sitting in her bedroom watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer isn't referred to as achieving anything because she's doing it sitting down. I want to live in a world where we don't have such low expectations of disabled people that we are congratulated for getting out of bed and remembering our own names in the morning. I want to live in a world where we value genuine achievement for disabled people. And I want to live in a world where a kid in year 11 in a Melbourne high school is not one bit surprised that his new teacher is a wheelchair user. Disability doesn't make you exceptional, but questioning what you think you know about it does.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You are listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, or you have been listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. Now we're at the end of the show. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, James. Thank you, Steph.
Wow, that was quick.
And you were listening. That last bit of the program was Stella Young, the late Stella Young, with a fantastic TED Talk that she did in Sydney, where she refused to allow us to be inspired by her. And I thought that it was just wonderful. It was such a funny and really empowering speech.
She's a gem, and I want to say that I think this is a great send-off here from Scotty, who has texted in on 0427JOY949. And he wrote, "Thanks for the laughs. Rest in peace, Stella. No effort." Well, I can't say it. Anyway, no, fuck it. "In raucous, loud laughter, Scotty." And that's very true for her. So she was an absolute legend. Stay tuned next week when we'll be back with There's Nothing Sacred, back with Jim. Thank you very much, Steph. Thank you, James.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Have a good night.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.